This is Amarins. Hi again, this is Arthur. I'm a gay American, now living in New Zealand. Welcome to episode 50 of the Amarins podcast. It's hard to believe that I finally made it, but I have. Now today I have a variety of special things, including some never heard before. I have my regular features too, of course, including comments. And then Nigel joins me because today is our anniversary as well. So let's get started. I'm going to play phone messages between segments today, just to sort of break them up a bit, and to have some variety. I'm going to play them in the order that I received them, and first up is one from Ramble Redhead, which I actually received a couple of days ago, but I held for today.
Hi Arthur, this is Tom, aka the Ramble Redhead. Just wanted to leave you a quick message to congratulate you on your upcoming 50th episode. I really enjoyed your show from day one, and I really enjoyed having you on my show as well. And I just want to wish you all the best, and keep up the great work, and look forward to many, many shows down the line. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that, Tom. Tom's got a great podcast at RambleRedhead.com, and if you want to know more about my story, check out the Ramble Redhead shows that he mentioned where I was a guest, and I'll put links in the show notes. But that brings me to my first topic, and this is something I excerpted in a blog post today, but I thought I'd share it with you anyway, and I'm going to read this, so you will forgive me, I hope, if I stumble over my words a bit. 12 years ago today, I arrived in New Zealand to live. It was an extremely hot, sunny day when I emerged from the airport. Nigel had just started a new job and couldn't meet me, so I took an airport shuttle to the house, got the key that Nigel hid from me, and went inside. Leading in from the front door was a path of laser-printed sheets, one letter per sheet. They spelled out, "Welcome home." I knew I was. I rang Nigel immediately, and he came and picked me up. We drove into the city, and while he finished work, I went to a Macintosh store, which is long gone, to get a New Zealand power cord for my Mac. Then I went to Victoria Park Market, a mostly open-air market near Nigel's work, and waited. He finished early. I can't tell you anything about the rest of that afternoon or evening. After a full day traveling to New Zealand, I was exhausted. I fell asleep very early that evening as Nigel and I cuddled up on the sofa watching TV. In the early years, there were times I missed America so much that I quite literally ached. But over time, that feeling eased, helped, if I'm honest, by the introduction to New Zealand of familiar American brands like Ritz crackers, Oreo cookies, and Ocean Spray cranberry juice. Mind you, it wasn't that I actually wanted those products. It was just that seeing them made me feel somehow more at home, and in those early days, I'd take help assimilating wherever I could find it. Since that time, we've been back to America twice, and we'll be back again eventually. We've bought and sold houses, I've changed jobs a few times, and become used to driving on the left side of the road. I have, in short, built a life. I'm asked from time to time if I still miss America. And that's not an easy question to answer. Of course, I miss the friends and family I left behind, and there are places in America that are very special to me. Sometimes I miss them, too. But really, how can I miss something that in so many ways I carry in my heart? I may not live there, but I still love the country of my birth. Not even Bush or Cheney and the Congressional Republicans can change that, try though they may. Of course, I love this country, too. It took a chance on me when it let me move here. I hope that I've justified that faith. I love my life here, and I love my Nigel. For me, that trumps everything. I'll be back after another phone message.
Hey Arthur, it's Holly. Congratulations on your 50th episode. I always like to hear your podcast, and it makes me want to move to New Zealand every time. So, congrats, and keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks for that, Holly. She's one of my Twitter/Facebook/podcast friends, and she actually now has a blog, and she'll soon be podcasting, too. I hope Michael and Mr. B from QCast Connection won't mind her leaving that message, though, since they kind of claim her, having given her the name Fairy Princess Holly. But seriously, I've actually met some really cool and interesting people since I started blogging and podcasting. And when I say met, I mean that loosely, since so far the only blogger I've met in real life is Dawn from Wellington, who, with her husband Darren, was on episode 32. I haven't met any podcasters yet, but I have met a listener, Yorkie, in episode 30. And by the way, Holly, there's plenty of room for you here in New Zealand. You're welcome here anytime. I'll be back after another phone message.
Hey, this is Jason, the one who lives in D.C. I thought the Preacher's Kids podcast was really, really great, very interesting, very funny. Now, creeping Americanism, do you get like a shot or are you immunized from that in any way, shape, or form? And I do recall that there was a little bit of Halloween stuff when I was there last year. And they put Halloween stuff up in the food store down the block for me in August. Yes, in August. Their Christmas stuff was up about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Anyway, happy anniversary. Happy 50th podcast. And I hope everything is going well. And happy Halloween. Trick or treat. And last night was the Peanuts Halloween special on television, which, of course, is my favorite, one of my favorites. And one of the greatest lines of all time when Charlie Brown says, "I got a rock." Anyway, good luck, congratulations, and be in touch soon. Bye.
Thanks, Jason. That's my friend who is on episode 20. He's going to be back soon, by the way. But next up, I thought I would move the curtain a bit so you could see some of the behind-the-scenes magic from the Amerinds podcast. I've used basically the same main intro since episode 1, with the sound of the Morse code and then a jet landing. There's symbolism behind that, of course. The Morse code is meant to symbolize communication from far away, and the jet landing is meant to basically represent me emigrating to New Zealand by air. But what you probably couldn't know is that the Morse code at the beginning actually says something. I found a Windows application on the web called WinMorse. It generates Morse code from a text file and saves it as a WAV file. So I experimented with various sayings, but my initial attempt was 18 seconds long, which is far too long. I mean, just imagine the doot-doot-doot-doot for 18 seconds. So anyway, I tried several shorter versions until finally I came up with simply Amerinds, and that's actually the version that I still use. I recorded my first take of an episode without any intro, and here's how that first test began, and this has never been heard before, except by me. Hi, this is Arthur, and welcome to my first podcast. This is the audio portion of my blog, which is at Amerinz, A-M-E-R-I-N-Z, .blogspot.com. I thought I'd start by talking about why I'm doing a podcast, and then talk more about myself. I see the podcast as an extension of... Okay, well, that was pretty deadly dull. I'm certainly glad that I didn't continue doing that. But in the background, you may have heard the whistle of cicadas, because I actually recorded that in summertime. But I didn't use it, of course. Well, I then added an intro and recorded my first real attempt. And I also didn't use this one. Now, here's the start of that also never-before-played episode. This is Amerinds, episode number 1. Hi everybody, my name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American living in New Zealand. Welcome to my podcast. I thought I'd start out by talking a little bit about this podcast, and then tell you something about me and what I'm doing living in New Zealand. Essentially, I see this podcast as... The first real episode, the one that actually posted, was very similar to this second one, but I used a press conference audio as the starting point. Now, some of the themes that I talked about were similar, about it being an extension of my blog and those kinds of things, but the story I told in that unused episode was one about how I came to New Zealand, and that's actually what I ended up telling on Ramble Redhead Show, the episodes that I mentioned earlier. But before all of that, before all of what I've played for you, my actual first full recording wasn't a podcast at all, but a recording I made of me reading a blog post called The Holiday Time from December 30th of last year and recorded on January 4th of this year. I basically was trying to work out how long things take because my original idea was to do a kind of New Zealand minute until I found out how short a minute is when you're recording something. So I changed gears, experimented, learned how to record, and the result was the Amerinds podcast, episode 1, and of course all of the episodes since then have evolved from that. And that's what went into making the Amerinds podcast. I've come a long way since those tentative experiments, and I like to think that the podcast and I have improved. I hope to continue growing and developing, but of course, ultimately, you're going to be the judge of that. But thanks for listening so far. Now, after this phone message, I'll be back with comments.
Hey, Arthur, this is Archer from archerradio.com. I'm calling to congratulate you on your 50th episode of the Amerinds podcast, as well as giving you best wishes for your 12th anniversary of being in New Zealand and your 12th anniversary with your husband. Congratulations, that's really amazing. Anyway, I hope to hear at least 50 more podcasts So keep going. Keep going. Anyway, have a great weekend. Bye.
Thanks for that, Archer. Archer was one of the people who encouraged me most in my early days of podcasting, so I'd like to acknowledge that and thank him for his support and his encouragement. The truth is that this is the real reason so many of us call him the godfather of podcasting. It isn't really about the number of episodes he's done or how long he's been doing it. He's always been very generous about giving his time and the benefit of his experience and those kinds of things. His is actually one of the few podcasts that I never miss and never get behind on either. I don't know how I manage. But now onto the comments. And this is from episode 47. It's called Evidence. And it's from Deborah, who said, "Good stuff as always, young Arthur. Thanks so much for your insights. Always a pleasure reading, listening to them. Much aroha to both you and Nigel, and early congrats on you know what." And I said, "Thanks so much, Deborah. I love doing these, the blog and podcast. Feel free to pass along anything you'd like me to take on. And by the way, aroha, which is A-R-O-H-A, is love, essentially, in Maori. And people will often say aroha nui, which means big love, essentially. But it's quite a common phrase in New Zealand. And now on to the episode 48, which was Preacher's Kids, which I have to say was one of my favorite shows so far, because I just had a good time talking with Tim and Eric. We had some laughs, and we talked about some serious things, some not so serious things, and it was just fun. And first up was Archer, who said, "Great show, you guys. What a great group to talk about religion and being gay. Don't worry, Tim, I didn't have a problem hearing about all that religion stuff at all. I love hearing you guys chat. I really enjoyed it." And I said, "I'm glad you enjoyed it. You've set a high standard for group shows, so I'm especially pleased. You know, they always say you shouldn't talk about religion and politics, but if I followed that, I'd never have anything to say. I'd never talk about anything." God, can't even read my own comments. Next up was Condo Blogger, who said, "Okay, this is why I miss my iPod. I seriously walked into the Apple store the other day with every intention of buying a new one, but I chickened out. I know I can listen on my computer, but it's just not the same. I'll make a point to listen to this show, though. Gays and God always make for a spirited discussion." And I said, "Hope you're back in iPod land, or equivalent, soon. This was a very fun podcast to do, that's for sure." Next up was John Q. Public, who said, "I haven't listened to the other podcasters, but this episode made me want to add them to my list. I enjoyed the thematic topic this time. Does Nigel hold the same views about religion as you, Arthur? If not, do you talk religion much? I know Archer and the boyfriend don't talk about it much because they have very different views on religion, agree to disagree kind of thing." And I said, "I'm glad you're going to give them a listen. I really enjoy their podcasts and like them as people, too, Eric and Tim. Nigel and I aren't totally dissimilar in our religious outlook, though I don't think we use the same names. But we don't talk about religion very much, simply because it's not part of our daily lives, I guess. But when it comes to politics and religion, we see eye to eye, but like Archer and the boyfriend, actually. A bit like Archer and the boyfriend, actually. And in that podcast, I describe myself as a non-theist, which is not the same as an agnostic or an atheist. An atheist says there is no God. An agnostic essentially believes in God, but says we cannot know. We cannot know what we believe. It's sort of hard to explain the difference, because a non-theist says there may be a God, there may not be, but I don't have a belief either way. That's essentially what it comes down to. And finally was David, who said, "I loved listening to the show and the discussion on religion and its whole relationship to gays. When it comes to subjects like these, Christians who are not willing to give time to another way of thinking are far worse enemies to Christianity than any other enemy, in quotes, they are taught to fear. Thanks again for a great show, and I'll be listening." And I said, "I couldn't agree with you more. I'd also add that religion isn't by definition an enemy of gay people, though fundamentalism of any stripe is. I look forward to more discussions with you." And before I go on to episode 49, Halloween, I thought that next I'd read an email from Nancy in Japan, who starts out, "On the Oriental animal zodiac, this means you arrived in New Zealand during the Year of the Wild Boar, 1995, and now you and Nigel have completed your first 12-year cycle. Congratulations to you both. Best wishes on your road together, enjoying many more cycles. P.S. Keep your dog. Don't go out and get a wild boar for a pet." The Sons of Parsons live chat was a listening pleasure. Yep, love that intro song. And by the way, I do have links to these to purchase the song and an album of Dusty Springfield's on the show notes for that episode. Anyway, she goes on, now I can't get the song out of my head. Many of the childhood anecdotes were humorous, yet I heard general respect for your father's beliefs, and there was that underlying nostalgia affection thread for the shared experiences in your families that made me sob a bit. My husband cries sometimes when he's really happy or really sad, or when the cats do something cute. I just sob, briefly. The timing of your questions and moving along the discussion was truly masterful. I am not being insincere. Very well moderated. The prevailing and upbeat message for me is that you guys worked out for yourselves self-determination and are content with those choices. P.S. Your mother's comments about her reservations on the handshaking in church match my own. I was surprised when this practice crept into the Episcopalian, my upbringing, churches, however many years ago. I'm still uncomfortable. Of course, now even the New Zealand, Australian, and Brits at the Anglican churches here in Japan do it. And thank you very much for that, Nancy. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Nancy has offered a lot of support since I began this podcast, and I've appreciated every single email that I've received. I especially appreciate the kind remarks. And now it's on to episode 49. And Nick said, "It's been interesting having been through barely two Halloweens here. It's one of my favorite holidays from growing up in the U.S., and it's a bit sad to me my boy won't quite have the same tradition here. But at the same time, I can see the valid complaints about it. Trick-or-treating has been called begging for lollies by several folks I know. I do like that they offer organized carnivals, etc. here, but maybe trick-or-treating should indeed stay away. Actually, it's been dying a bit in the U.S. for years due to safety issues. Shoving it down New Zealanders' throats doesn't appeal, obviously, although the stores will try their hardest. Of course, I noted Christmas decorations on sale here around October 1st, so obviously the lure of the almighty dollar, Kiwi or U.S., can't be beaten back for long." And I said, "I feel very much the same way. As a child, I really enjoyed Halloween and trick-or-treating, but maybe the latter has outlived its time, and to be honest, it never had anything to do with New Zealand. Still, it's sad that your son won't know anything about what we took for granted. Hopefully his memories will be just as good." And that's it for the comments, and now I'm just going to play one last phone message.
"Hi Arthur, it's Eric West from the Beach, San Francisco calling. Just wanted to say congratulations on the 50th, and please keep them coming. Even if it's only once a week, I have to kind of take a little break myself for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be back this week with a full audio show only, and one other video show. Keep them coming. I love them, and I listen to every single one. Congratulations on number 50, and hope to see 50 more. Have a good one. Bye."
Thanks, Eric. I listened to Eric's podcast, The Beat San Francisco. I think it was another one of those ones I learned of through Mike Hipp at podcastsoup.net. But anyway, I have to admit that I especially love it when Eric has a rant, mostly because I agree with him, but also because it's great to hear someone who's got so much passion behind their words. It is great, and you really should give it a listen if you have a chance. There's a link on my blog, of course. And next up is the section with Nigel, but I'm going to have one last audio break. Now, recently I was registering on a site, and it wanted the location of my audio promo. Well, I didn't have one, so I decided to make one. And I tried, but I could not make it fit into 15 seconds. 30 was as short as I could go. So I'm going to play that 30-second promo for you. It's a world premiere. Seriously, feel free to let me know what you think, because I've never written a commercial before, and I haven't posted it yet either. But after the promo, I'll be back with Nigel. What happens when a nice American boy meets a nice Kiwi boy and moves to the other side of the world to be with him? Hi, my name's Arthur, and that's my story. On my Amaranth podcast, I talk about that, about New Zealand, and some of the things I see looking at America from overseas. Check out my Amaranth podcast at amaranths.com. That's AMERINZ.com. Stop by anytime. I'll make a cup of tea for you. This isn't just my 50th episode of my podcast. It's also our 12th anniversary. So joining me now is Nigel.
Hello. Hi. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you, too. And how did we spend our anniversary today?
We went to the mall.
As you do.
We've had a quiet day.
Yeah, we've had a quiet week, actually. But yeah. No, there's a new mall that's opened just north of us, which is quite a big deal. It's actually quite a nice mall. But I haven't had a chance to go there yet, unlike certain people.
who went there on opening day, who shall remain nameless.
I didn't buy anything, though. I just went for nosy.
And I couldn't because that I was at the part-time job. So we went up there today so I could have a look. And that was really why we went. And we had lunch while we were there.
And we bought some things.
Yeah, nothing.
We went shopping.
Unusual or anything, but yeah, that was our our big day out. But we have been together 12 years now.
12 long years.
Some might say. But, and with no end in sight, unfortunately. I mean, no end in sight.
How rude.
It almost seems in some ways, well, because it's been 12 years, it's sort of the sort of thing that, for me, is just kind of always there. And I don't really think about the number of years that have been involved. Because, I mean, when I do, sometimes I think, oh my God, it's been 12 years or whatever. But I suppose because it's been so long that, especially to your family, because we see them so much, that it's sort of like a part of the furniture now in some ways. Because we're always together.
Yeah.
I mean, some of your nieces and nephews, we've been together for at least half their lives, in some cases.
All their lives.
Yeah, because all their lives.
Yeah. So what?
I thought you were going to say something.
Did I look like I was going to say something?
Yeah, you did.
No, I was waiting for you to say something. I could spend the next 12 years waiting. We might actually get around to getting married this year.
Yeah. Well, there is... our major holdup... I mean, we've probably talked... Somebody has probably talked about this a little bit, but one of the major holdups is that we don't really want to do any kind of traditional marriage-type thing.
No, and it's also just getting around to it.
Yeah.
I suppose... I mean... I think if we were in that honeymoon period, it always makes it much more exciting and that imperative to want to sort of, I don't know, to demonstrate your commitment. But after 12 years, it's like, well, it's just sort of something that we know we'll get around to eventually because, you know, we will. And so it doesn't have that sort of imperative that it would if we were fresh and new and just getting started. And we're lazy.
Yes, that's probably a big part of it, actually.
No, truth be told, we want to spend our money on toys rather than a big to-do.
Well, when I was growing up and seeing these people going off and spending $10,000 and $20,000 on a wedding, I thought they were absolutely insane. And I couldn't imagine why anybody would do that. But it was never really a consideration because I thought, well, that's never going to happen for me anyway, so what difference does it make? And then all of a sudden when the laws started changing... And it became a possibility. I started to think, oh, well, now what?
Well, 10 to 20,000 will pay for our new deck.
That's true, too. I'd rather spend it on
Well, maybe we could build the deck and have a soiree out on the deck.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So we haven't even found a venue, really.
No, not really. Not something that we really... some place where we really want to do it. Mm. And it's hard.
Yeah.
Because we already have our memories. We've built already 12 years of memories... And a lot of times people build their wedding day as their memory, and it's...
Yeah.
And I mean, it would be exciting, I'm sure, and I'm sure, you know, after 12 years, it's an important day. But we've already built 12 years of memories, and it's hard to think of what sort of day you would have. Because I know when Terry got married...
Your brother.
Yeah. Him and his wife had been together and had two children already, and so... The wedding became surrounded their relationship and their children and bringing together and complete, you know, the last link in building their family type of thing. And for us, I suppose it's a similar thing, and it doesn't have the same sort of feeling like you want. We've already got our family, you know, we've already been together 12 years, we've already fit in. It doesn't have the same sort of significance except for the legal pieces.
Yeah, and a lot of that's already sorted anyway.
Yeah, and I suppose I mean, for us, it's really just the recognition, you know, through the law.
Yeah, and your family's quite keen to see us do it.
Yeah, because they just want to go to a party.
Well, that's part of it. But no, I think that they want to be part of it and share with us and those kinds of things. But in some ways, it's not an easy concept for me to get my head around because it was something that was never possible when I was growing up. I mean, it was unimaginable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know me. I'd be quite happy just to go to a registry office on a Friday afternoon and do the deal, but my mother would be horrified and my brothers and sisters wouldn't be happy if they weren't there. So it did end up being, you know, I couldn't do a registry office without 30 people, and we might as well have a party. So it's just getting it right.
Yeah, and finding the time, partly the time to organise and the venue and all those kinds of things.
And we've been busy this year.
Yeah,
we've been
very busy.
Moved back to Auckland and
settling in.
My new job, your new job, settling in.
All sorts of little projects.
Yeah, and we've had a few hiccups with the animals this year.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for that, but but Puppy Jake's made up for that.
Yes.
He could be the ring bearer. Tie the rings to his collar and he could bring them to us.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure he'd obey.
Sure.
He'd come if there was some treat.
Yeah, probably. So, what pearls of wisdom do you have about our first 12 years?
That's an interesting question. Pearls of wisdom. Probably then it's easier than you think.
You think?
No, the whole idea, when you think about staying with somebody for a long period of time, it sounds like it's, well, it is a bit of work, I suppose, but I mean, it sounds like it's a real mission. And when you're young and the idea of having a long-term relationship, I mean, I should say everybody wants one because some people don't, but I certainly wanted one. And all my friends wanted a long-term relationship, but the idea of actually having it was a whole other matter. I mean, when we started to imagine it, it seemed like it was something that was impossibly difficult. But it turns out that it's actually, on the whole, much easier than I would have ever thought.
Yeah, it hasn't been hard work.
Mm-mm.
I think you do become... I'm thinking about it today, probably, and, I mean, some of my people might look at us and think, oh, they're codependent, but that's part of being in a relationship, you know? You do become codependent because...
But not in a bad way, necessarily.
No, not in a bad way. I'm not saying that in a negative way, but, you know, it's a whole... how you complete each other, you know, and you sort of fit together and
the infamous we brain.
Yeah, well, it's not even there. It's just that, you know, maybe it fits right or it is right because the strengths that you have that you bring to a relationship, that maybe you can build on those, the other person's differences and their strengths they bring to your the differences that you have, so maybe that's sort of the balance, you know. Because I mean, I think about in crisis time, I'm much more edgy. I get much edgier when it's crisis, you know, when there's this, whereas you're very businesslike, very
focused.
Whereas I'm, you know, when shit hits the fan, I'm a bit of a flutter. Whereas afterwards, I'm much more businesslike, and you tend to be much more vague and not focused and that sort of thing. So we complement each other really well.
Well,
not just in a crisis, but, you know, we complement each other really well.
Yeah, overall. That's probably been one of our keys to success.
I don't do laundry, you do. See? Good compliment.
And I don't. You don't iron, I do. Wait a minute.
I'm happy to do the laundry, but you just don't like pink underwear and grey T-shirts.
No. I know, I'm a bit precise about things like that. I want it done a certain way, and I'd just rather do it myself.
But they are clean.
Yes. Yeah. They're just pink and grey.
Yeah.
And they're not supposed to be.
Well, it's just easier. Just throw it all on, you know? It's going to be clean.
Yeah, no. But that's okay, because you're the IT genius in the house. You keep all the computers running.
Someone's got to do it.
Well, I just want to turn it on and have it do what it's supposed to do.
I know.
I don't want to have to think about it. Clearly.
You're the yin to my yang.
Yeah. Although there's probably some truth in that, because, I mean, we have some interests in common, obviously. And we have things that where our interests diverge, what's the word? Diverge.
Diverge.
But it's in good ways, and some of our skills are different, so we can complement each other in those ways as well. So, I mean, it's probably all of those things, the complementarity, I think that's the word. And also the things that are the same, the interests to keep us interested.
Yeah, I mean, and you know who the boss is. That always helps.
Yeah, I haven't told them the three rules.
Oh, haven't you?
No.
My three rules for a successful relationship.
Shall I tell them?
Go ahead.
Okay, the three rules for our successful relationship, and you're free to adapt them, are, number one, Nigel's right about everything.
Yes.
Number two, everything's my fault. And yes. Number three, if in doubt about anything, refer to rules number one and two.
Exactly.
And that's what keeps our...
The three golden rules to a successful relationship.
Our peaceful and happy home.
What more could you ask?
We
could write a book.
Three pages.
One three golden rules.
Be a million seller for sure.
Something's worked well. 12 years. Something's gone right.
Well, apparently on some belief systems like the Chinese New Year and all that, they run on 12-year cycles.
Oh, okay.
So we're starting a new cycle now, apparently.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Mm.
Now that we're in our 13th year. I'm not superstitious about it.
So what's this, the year of the pig or something?
I'm not sure, but apparently our first year together...
That'll be the donuts we had.
Yeah. Well, the first year we were together was the year of the boar.
Okay.
B-O-A-R, I hasten to add.
Oh, I don't know what this year is.
I don't either. I don't actually know what Chinese New Year is. But anyway, it's supposed to indicate that we enter a new phase now, according to Chinese astrology.
Oh, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's where the civil union comes into it.
Hmm.
If we ever get around to it.
Yes. We could look forward to the next 12 years.
Yes, exactly. Well, do you have any... well, actually, backing up a bit. What do you remember about that very first day when I arrived in New Zealand?
The very first day you arrived to stay, yeah. Where you came back.
12 years ago today, in other words.
I don't remember a lot. It was that whole time is a bit vague. Because I think, you know, we were running on adrenaline for quite a while because you arrived in the September, and then I'd spent quite a long time after that trying to get you into the country. You know, we went to the Human Rights Commission and tried to challenge the marriage laws here through the Human Rights Act and things like that. We'd done a bit of that. So I was pretty high on, I suppose, that adrenaline of working through that. So it was just really working through all of those issues. So it's quite a vague time.
Mm.
It wasn't until you got here that I really sort of settled, I suppose, because it was like, because you'd left to go back to America, you were packing, you know, there was... we were on the phone every day.
Yeah. Just think of the phone bill.
I know.
It's huge.
And all of that sort of stuff. And it was just sort of, you know, I suppose that was our honeymoon time. You know, we were spending lots of time still getting to know each other. So when you arrived, I remember the day because I worked, of all things. But I think it was good that I did because I think it meant, if I remember, something was going on at work and I had to work, but it meant I could have the week off afterwards. So we could spend time together. So it wasn't such a issue. And I know the time you arrived was in the morning anyway.
Was it? I remember it as being the afternoon.
No, I think...
You could be right. I just don't...
No, I think you arrived reasonably early because I expected you to sleep all day after your flight. And so that when I got home, you'd be there.
Oh, you know what? I think it was midday-ish. Somewhere around there, and I don't remember exactly when. By the time I got to the house,
yeah, it probably would have been because I think it was about 9 o'clock. Your flight came.
Yeah, but by the time I cleared customs and all that, and got to the house, I think it was midday ish.
Yeah, so it was I suppose it's an anxious time, mm-hmm. and so you know I was running on adrenaline a lot of that. Those few months between September and November when you came back, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because I'd spent the roughly 5 weeks that I was away. Getting everything sorted and sending documents off to the New Zealand Embassy in Washington and dealing with all that to try to get all the I's dotted and T's crossed.
Didn't the FBI have to do a check?
No, that was later.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when you got your
citizenship. Yeah, I had to send away my fingerprints to the FBI to prove that I wasn't a criminal, because now I'm on record, I'm sure. But, there was a lot of bureaucracy to deal with right. In that time, but
what do you remember about that?
Well, I actually posted a blog post about it, and in the first part of this podcast, I already talked about it. About how I remember that it was a very hot day that day. Of course, I was coming from autumn.
Did you check your diary, your journal?
No.
For that day?
No.
Why not?
Because I remember it.
Oh, okay.
And I've written about it so many times now. If it's not true, it is now.
Okay.
No, there's certain things that I remember distinctly. like the path of letters leading from the door. Mm-hmm. And I still have them. They're still filed away in a drawer, but I still have them. And I remember...
such a sentimentalist.
I know. Well, you're a romantic, so it makes us evenly match. And I remember you left a note saying that the dogs had been washed. Because apparently they'd gotten into some mess just before
something. They were always getting into mess.
Yeah, they were beagles and they were escape artists.
Yeah.
They were always getting into trouble. But and I also remember that I rang you up when I got to the house and you came right over and picked me up. And we drove into the city and I went and got a power cord for my Macintosh. And you finished out working. I eventually met you at Vic Park Market.
Right.
And that's about all I remember, because by that point I was starting to crash.
I remember you crashing early.
Yeah. All I remember is we were cuddling up on the sofa watching TV, and that's the last thing I remember from that day.
Yeah.
I was exhausted.
It was a good day.
Yeah. No, it was. And it seemed like it took forever to come, but it finally arrived.
Mm.
You know, I suppose every day does eventually.
Yeah.
And then I also don't remember a whole lot of the early days after that. I suppose it was jet lag and all that.
Yeah, and we were busy.
Yeah.
You know, we were busy just getting to know each other and...
and finding out where the buses went.
Yeah, and I thought there was more to it than just buses. But and you getting to know my family as well.
Because
you sort of then met all my family and my friends. And
oh, and the weeks after, yeah, absolutely. Because I hadn't met your folks up until that point, until I came back, I don't think.
No, because I think the first time you met them was when we went up to stay with them.
Yeah, that's right, because they were in the process of shifting or something when I was first here.
Or did they stay with us? I can't remember.
No. I can't remember if we drove up to see them.
I know the first Christmas we spent with them.
Yeah. Yeah, because Stacy was there in her purple and green fairy outfit.
With no teeth.
With no teeth, and I couldn't understand a word she was
saying.
Partly because of the teeth, but also because I wasn't familiar with the New Zealand accent yet, and I could not understand what she was saying half the time. What was she, about 7, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, that'd be about right. Yeah, about 7.
About that.
Yeah, yeah, but I'd met Pam earlier.
Hmm.
Up to visit her, and gradually met all the others as well.
Yeah,
and it takes a while to meet your family.
I know,
there's lots of people.
Yes.
So yeah, it's been an interesting 12 years. Lots of what? I thought you're looking at something.
No, I was just contemplating.
Oh, contemplate away then.
Yeah, contemplating 12 years. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to list it because there's some good times and there's some bad times. We had a bit of a rough patch there with my family, and that wasn't a not problems, except when I lost my brother and my father that year. That was a tough year.
Which is actually part of the reason why we haven't been back to America, because we were due to go about that time.
That's right, we were, but we decided not to go.
Although, we'll make it back eventually.
Yeah. So time's passed by, but it's been a good 12 years. Mm. We're way better off than we were 12 years ago.
Oh, heck yeah.
If I think about, I mean, where I was 12 years ago and where you were, where we started, we've built a pretty good life over the last 12 years.
Yeah, we've moved around a little bit physically,
yep,
from house to house. But
we've lived in 3 different houses, 4 different houses.
Yeah, this is the fourth one, yeah.
Yep, which means we've owned 4 different houses.
Mm-hmm. And changed jobs and cars.
A few of those.
Yeah. But those are all have been good changes. You know, none of those have been bad changes.
So. No, and I don't think it's we've filled our years up with lots to do.
Yeah, that's why they pass so quickly.
Yeah, and that's why probably you can't remember every details, because we've been quite busy doing things. We've enjoyed ourselves. We've been overseas a few times on trips.
Mm.
We've holidayed out of Auckland as well. We've lived in different towns, and so we've crammed a lot into that 12 years.
And probably a lot more in the coming 12 years, probably.
And probably.
I mean, if the past is any indication.
Yep. Long silence.
I can edit those out.
You've run out of things to say. Have you?
Yeah, well, that's why I was just thinking if there's anything else.
Well, this was going to be a 10-minuter, and it's turned into a longer.
Well, that's because it's only been 23 minutes.
23 minutes, so it's longer than 10.
That's including long dead spaces and things I'll edit out.
So you'll edit me out.
No.
You'll edit me.
I'll edit the dead space and probably the little...
Are you calling me dead space?
No.
Okay.
Well, that's probably the highlights of 12 years.
That's a quick run through.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take that long, really.
Okay.
But thanks for saying hello to everybody.
You're welcome.
I've had several calls and emails of congratulations to us. So that's been very nice to see. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for joining me for the segment.
Who?
You.
Oh, okay.
Now I'll say goodbye to them later on.
Okay.
But I'll have you back on again with a more formalized segment at some stage.
An interview.
Yes, an interview.
Interview. Okay.
An interview.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. Bye.
Just before I go today, I'd like to send special birthday greetings to Matthew from Spanking B. Arthur, Brian from My Gay Two Cents, and Tom the Ramble Redhead. And that completes 50 episodes of the Amrens podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday with episode 51, and I have a special guest lined up, so I hope you'll give that one a listen as well. It hasn't always been easy over the past 50 episodes, as you know. There have been some ups and some downs, and there have been times when I was a bit unsure about whether I should even continue, but I'm glad I have, because I've really enjoyed doing these podcasts, and I hope that you've gotten something out of them, maybe learned something, maybe had a laugh here and there, or just enjoyed spending some time with me. As always, feel free to leave a comment. Please do leave a comment at amrens.com, or you can leave an audio comment on my listener line, which is 206-339-8413. And you can also leave a review on iTunes, and if you do that, of course, it will help me immensely. But that is it for the first 50 episodes of the Amrens podcast. Here's to 50 more. Bye, everybody. My home is not a heartache. Sweet to surrender to you only. I said my life.